It's wonderful to be here today. I'm so happy to see you and glad that you came. I get excited about the babies and, you know, yes, thank you, Sherry. Yeah, it is exciting. And what I'm waiting for is to have all of the babies here at one time, and I want the parents to pinch them. Because I want to hear them all cry in harmony. You know, sometimes parents come up and they say, I am so sorry, my child was so distracting and blah, blah, blah in the message. You know what? I love it. And they're not distracting, and we're so, so happy to have the children. Bill and Karen, congratulations. This is just more exciting and really happy for you. Last week, I'm going to do a little test here and see who remembers. Last week, we began this study that I'm going to be doing where we're walking through the Bible. And if you'll remember, as we're going through the Bible, I'm going to do it by talking about nine individuals or nine characters and a word that represents their ministry, a word that represents how God used them and where he used them. Who remembers, and this is really a simple question, who did we talk about last week? Adam, very good. Now, we talked about Adam. What was the one word that summed Adam up? I love it. All right, potential, very good. Adam had great potential. God had given him everything he wanted, everything he needed, and had just poured all of this stuff into him, placed him in the garden. He walked with God. He knew God, all of these wonderful things. And then he sinned. Sin entered the world. Adam was removed from the garden. And his potential was lost. He still had potential, but not what he had when he was in the garden. So that's Adam. Potential. We're walking through the Bible, and I'm doing this because I want you to understand what the Bible is about. And there's one word that we've talked about that really represents the Bible. What is it? It's the story of redemption. All right, the Bible, all the way through, it's the story of redemption. It's the story of God wanting a relationship with us. That's what he did. He created man to have a relationship with man. And so it's a story of redemption. Listen, have you ever been, and I'm sure some of you have you ever been responsible for cleaning up, I mean, a really terrific, horrendous mess? Some of you who got flooded out here within the past couple of years, you know what it's like. Just a terrible, terrible mess, and you have to clean it up. I remember our first trip to Mississippi after Katrina. It was a great trip. We had a lot of fun. But the one thing that I remember is they took us to a house, and this house had been underwater pretty much to the roof. It was terrible, and the crew that was working, it was on stilts, kind of, and there was a crew working upstairs, but they had a room or an area built underneath this house, and Scott and I got the challenge on this one, and that became our dilemma. This room, I can't even describe. Everything was turned upside down, turned over, floated away, piled up. It was a mess, and I know we looked at it, and it's like, what are we going to do? Big problem, we couldn't get in because the door was blocked. We spent a week working on that mess. As we looked at it initially, we weren't sure where to start. I kind of thought a good place to start would be with a match and paper. But that wasn't what we were there to do. We were there to clean up the mess. And so we had to jump in somewhere. We had to start somewhere. And our starting point was real simple. We had to break down the door. There was no other way to get in. We tried the finesse style. We tried to do it the easy way. But, you know, Scott and I can put a lot of force behind something when we get together on it. And things can happen. And we had to break down the door. That's how we got started. Well, listen. The earth was a mess. The earth was a mess. Sin was growing. It was rampant. It had come out of the garden. It was in the world. And the earth was a mess. And God, who's in control of all things, God had to make a decision. He had to make a choice. And it was a choice because everything was a mess and people were sinning and the world was getting worse and worse and worse. You know, one of the things he could have done, God could have started over. He could have started over. He could have wiped everything out, built a new garden, built a new man, and put the man in the garden and just start everything over. But you know what? That's not his style. That's just not the way God does things. You see, like us, when we face a big mess, and God was looking at this big mess, he knew you got to start somewhere, and just wiping it all out was not the answer. In the book of Genesis, we read a lot of stuff, and one of them we see where God got a nation. God decided that he would start this new nation. He had to start somewhere, so he started with a man that was not a king, a man that was really unknown. His wife was barren. They couldn't have children. And God told this man, his name was Abram at that time, and God told him, I want you to move away from where you're at. Nobody's going to know your name. You'll have no kids. You'll have no influence. And God says, that's the way I'm going to start. It's amazing. You know, God is looking at a nobody, and he doesn't make this stuff up. He's looking at a nobody, and he's saying, I'm going to do something special with you, and I'm going to do something in your life that is so special that you're going to go on and on and on. And he reaches down into the mess of the world and all of the sin that was going on at that time, and he looks at Abraham, and he says, I'm going to start with you. You're nobody. Now, it doesn't really say it that way, but that's the truth. I'm going to start with you, and you're going to be the one that is going to make a change in this world. We'll read on about it. In Genesis 11, verse 27, it begins. It says, this is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram. That's Abraham. The name changes later on. Nahor and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and it becomes Sarah later on, so we don't get confused. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now, Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Now, something's going to happen, and this is what we want to remember. We're talking about Abraham today. Before the name change that God gives him, it's Abram. He becomes Abraham later on in Scripture. But God is going to look at Abraham, and he's going to make him a promise. The thing we remember, Adam had the potential. Abraham received the promise. Potential. Promise. We're walking through the Bible trying to understand what these things mean. It's a very simple way of doing it as we understand some of the characters and some of the people in the Bible. Abraham was going to be an example for others to follow. He was going to be a model for the relationship that God wants to have with us. Going on in Genesis 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. God talks to him and he says, now, I don't want you to take anything. Don't take anything. I'm going to take care of you. Always when we look in Scripture, we see where God is saying he wants to take care of us. And he does take care of us. Sometimes we just don't realize it. Sometimes when God is taking care of us, we're too busy saying more, 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 and we don't realize that he's got it covered. But he gives Abraham three promises. Now, what you need to understand, God didn't say much here to Abraham. At this time, there was no written word, but God decided to take a man with very little potential and take him out of all that he knew, but he made him a promise. Actually, he makes him three promises, and I want you to hear this. Promise number one, he says, Abraham or Abram, I will make you a great nation. Who knows the country that Abraham became the father of? Thank you. I didn't hear it. I heard something, but I wasn't sure what. Israel. And it is truly a great nation, but we got to see what God does and how he does this. So promise number one, he looks at Abraham and he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he gives all of this promise of all the descendants to come and everything that's going to happen. Number two, he makes a promise. He says, I will make your name great. You will have notoriety. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Abraham? Okay, good. I'm glad to see those hands go up because I'd blow my next point if it didn't. Here we are, you know, some 4,000 years later, God takes a nobody, a no man or whatever, and here we are 4,000 years, 4,000 plus years later, and I say, how many know who Abraham is? And hands go up, and we know him. God made him a promise. He made a promise that he would be known. And he makes a third promise. And he says, all people will be blessed through you and in you. And what God is doing as he's making this plan and he's making this promise, he's outlining really the whole plan of redemption. Folks, did you realize or do you know that most Arabs, all Jews, all Christians say that the roots of everything started in Abraham? That's something we kind of have in common. We go back, we all say the same thing. It started with Abraham. God revealed his plan of redemption some 4,000 years ago. Paul understood his plan. He understood that God had this plan to redeem. 2,000 years later in Galatians 3, Paul writes this, that the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. God's announcing the gospel. Talking about redemption, about people coming to himself. All nations are to be blessed through Abraham and that lineage. Promise number one, I will make you a great nation. Promise number two, your name will be known. And promise number three, all will be blessed through you. Just a little bit about the culture that God was speaking into, okay? We always want to look at this and understand these things. In this culture, no one, including Abraham, no one really knew anything or really knew too much about God. There was no Bible. The Ten Commandments had not been given. There was no law. God was silent and had been silent for some time, and God decides that he wants to start or to reestablish his relationship with mankind. But you notice, he didn't start with the commandments. Have you noticed that? They come later. He started with promises. He started with a request. And the request was real simple. It was to Abraham or Abram. And he says, Abram, you got to trust me. Does that sound familiar? Abram, you've got to trust me. You know, and I know that you don't know me. And you don't have much to go on. You don't have much to look at the past and go on. But I'm asking you, Abram, I want you to do one thing. Will you trust me? Has that question ever changed? If you trust me, we'll make a foundation that will impact the whole world. In Genesis 15, he makes an example by which he wishes to have a relationship with all of us. In Genesis 15, God promises an heir to Abram. Verse 1, it reads, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Not a nation. Not going to be a nation. I don't have any children. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Boy, I could do a side note on all these babies right now. We won't. Save that for another day. He took him outside and said, look up to the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Look at the stars and start counting them one by one by one. And if you can count them, that's the number of heirs that you will have. That's how great a nation you are going to have. And in that moment, right at that time, Abraham makes a decision. And his decision is really important and it impacts the rest of history. Because at that moment when God says, count the stars and that's the number of your descendants, Abraham says, I believe it. I believe it. I believe and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust God. I don't have a lot of past history to go on. I don't know all that he's done. This stuff, it just isn't here. I haven't seen miracles performed, but he's spoken to me. I felt it. I know it. And Abram said that he believed the Lord. He said, I believe God. And when he said, I believe, God said, because you have believed, I consider you a righteous man. Not because of what you have done, but you have chosen to put your life in me. This established the way. No law, no Ten Commandments. God's introduction to man, Abraham, or to the man, Abraham, because he said, you believed. And I'm giving you a righteous standing with me. Why? Because you believed. Abram, you didn't earn it. You really don't deserve it. But God's saying, I have this deep, deep desire to clean up this mess. I have a deep desire to have this relationship with my creation, my greatest creation, who is man. And because I have this desire to clean up this mess, and I so long to re-enter the realm of man, I'm going to make it as easy as possible for you. And God's saying, in faith, catch that? In faith, if you'll believe who I am, that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. In faith, If you'll believe who I am, that's all you have to do. And folks, this is 2,000 years before Jesus showed up. Our relationship to God, it comes by faith. It comes by trust. God wants us to trust him. Well, finally, Abraham has a son. He names him Isaac. Abraham is now 100 years old. He's just had his first son, all right? And he's still looking for this great nation. You know, how's the nation coming along there? God, I'm 100 years old and I just had my first son. Kind of getting a little slow here, aren't we? Isaac has sons, the most famous of which was Jacob. Abraham dies, and it's still not a nation. Lots of people, but not a nation. But God made a promise, and you can be sure that God will always keep his promise, and any promise he gives to you, he will keep. And God was in the process of making a nation. Jacob has 12 sons. And they have sons, and all of these that have sons and daughters and all of these, they end up in Egypt. And when they're in Egypt, something happens. They multiply like rabbits. They just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And Egypt takes all of these that the God has chosen, and he makes slaves out of them. So what happens? The nation's status comes because there's all of these people, but it's a slave nation. And for 400 years, it's a slave nation. Abraham's name was not great. Israel was not great. And God's name was not great. And we think there's no way that they were going to ever amount to anything. It's unbelievable. But you got to take notice to the rest of this story as God's promises are fulfilled. What do we learn from Abraham? What is it that God wants from me and you? He wants the same thing. He wants us to trust him. And he look where he starts. He starts with, I believe. And it doesn't seem sometimes like it's possible to get my life back on track or to get my life back together. But we can say, God, I trust you. I get to go to heaven after all this stuff that I have done. I don't understand how. I haven't earned it, and I've done some pretty bad stuff. But God, I trust you. Why? It's real simple. Because God wants a relationship with you. And it's really hard to have a relationship with somebody if you don't trust them. It's really hard to have a relationship with somebody when you don't trust them. And God says, I have gone through great lengths, and all I want is for you to say, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. Today, we do that through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you're my Savior. I trust you. And when you say that, Jesus, you're my Savior. I trust you. When that happens, God gives you the same gift he gave to Abraham. He makes you righteous. Sometimes we have excuses. God, you don't know what I've done. Sure he does. Look at Abraham. What did he do? Really nothing yet, but God chose to use him. What is it that you have a hard time trusting God with? What's the area in your life that you hold back and you wonder about? Some is salvation, and you've never said, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Not sure I can trust that, so I'm going to hold back. I'll tell you what, if not Jesus, then what? For some, it's their finances, and you know, God, I'm not sure I can trust you with my finances. For some, you hold back, and it's your marriages, and you say, I don't know if I can trust you, God, with my marriage and everything going on there. Some say, I don't know if I can trust you with my children and their future, trust you with my career. I'm just not sure. Folks, what area is it hard to say, God, I believe? What do you lack? See, you can't have a relationship with somebody that you can't trust. It just doesn't work. What God wants is He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to go out and to walk out and to look up at the stars and see all the stars and see that's my whole life. And the bottom line is, God, when I look and I see those stars and I remember your promises, I trust you. And when you do that, you've paved the way to a God that loves you so much that when the world fell apart, when sin came crashing into the world and there was no reason for it to go on, God did not give up. I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to provide. I'm going to make a great nation. I'm going to rebuild this world. Because God said, I want a relationship with you. Abraham promises. Adam potential. And as we begin to roll through the Bible, simple words to understand what God wants. And He's leading us to one thing all the way through, and that is redemption. That is a relationship that He wants with people. I want to pray, and you know, I ask that maybe if you feel like it, you might want to pray this prayer too. So if you would you just bow your heads? Lord, as I come before you this morning, I want to be like Abraham. Father, I want to be able to say, I trust you. I want to say that I believe you and I believe in you. And that part of my life, whatever it is that I haven't trusted you with, I want to give that to you today. Just surrender it, Father. Because I believe in your promises that you will take care of it. Lord, my life is yours. And as I would go out and look up to the stars and think of the promises you've given and the promises to Abraham and to the nation Israel and the promises to us, Father, we can go beyond even looking at the number of people in the stars and look at the number of promises that you have followed through on. For you're an awesome God who meets our needs. Lord, I believe. I do believe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As we watch our lives happen, doesn't it? We don't feel like that's what we do sometimes. But it is true. We can.